What a great God we have. Thank you for leading. Thank you for the songs you chose and what you shared. Much appreciated. Okay. God is doing amazing things around the world. Staggering things. Tens of thousands are coming to know him. Sometimes every day. Sometimes in places where it seemed as though hardly anybody would come to know him. And you know that I've shared with you a little bit about what's happening in India. Share with you a little bit more now. I'm hoping I press the right thing in the right places. It's interesting. Persecution comes in this morning after what we've been singing and talking about. Healing, hospital healing and persecution. Is it working? Ah, you have to switch it on, do you? Okay. Press the side. Okay. And does it go that way? The other way. No? I'm on. Oh, it's... work that we're involved in, growing to lead 25,000 people to Christ every year. That's quite a target, isn't it? From one person, one young man, called from a doubting Thomas church in South India to the north, where virtually no Christians among millions, and where now many thousands are coming to know him. So they're now believing for that. God is so good. Together we have raised what was needed for our first operation in the hospital. First heart operation. Open heart surgery in the hospital. Pray for the remainder to come in to perform open heart surgery. First operation completed. Moving forward with open heart surgery in 2016. You don't have to pray. You're doing that, yeah? Okay, good. Thank you. Pastor NJ met with a highly decorated cardiothoracic surgeon, Dr. James Thomas, who came to our hospital to conduct a two-day cardiology camp. During those 2 days, he examined 126 cardiac patients. They were mostly village, simple, poverty-stricken village people. 50 of them need heart surgery. Just imagine that, 50 out of 126. Quite staggering, isn't it? In an area where there's been no care, no doctors, no nurses, no hospital. Okay. We just heard he was on Logos with us as a family. So we know him. He didn't look like that then. That was about, last time we saw him was probably mid-70s. Dr. James Thomas, that's him, has performed more than 13,000 open heart surgeries and is committed to working with Shanti Bhavan Medical Center, that's our hospital, bringing his team every 2 months to see patients and perform surgeries once we are able to fully supply our cardiac unit. He also has recommended several other cardiologists to join our hospital on a long-term basis. So that's quite encouraging, isn't it? Okay. That's the ward by the side of the cardiology unit. It's all fully equipped now. Okay. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Will you help us save lives, one heart at a time? We've been saving many spiritually, haven't we, for eternity, but some of them need saving for this life as well. We need to raise the running costs for this department for bi-monthly open heart surgery. We know the Lord will provide. He has given us the right people, the right timing, and the right patients who need this. He will also provide the funds. Please pray with us for this. The hospital ministry is touching many hearts and lives, including Hindu priests, senators, congressmen, and people from all walks of life. That's quite staggering, isn't it? From this one young guy, from a nobody really, like Jeremiah. I'm just a child. We're reading about Jeremiah this morning, Mary and I, in our devotions. I'm just a child, I can't speak, and yet he became one of the greatest prophets. But here you've got a young man that is being led that way. Neil in a wheelchair. I think Maurice Markham has shared with you about this man. Yeah, so we won't share any more about him. Okay, let's go on. Our friends are being persecuted, and it's growing. There's a price to pay for sure for the people in India. This is NJ writing this. That price is very high. Becoming a Christian in India is very different than here in the UK. In India, new Christians are brutally beaten, threatened, and even killed. Many lose everything, including houses, goats, and chickens, and they must flee their villages to save their lives. Okay? Could you imagine watching the pastor or leader in your church? Just imagine this morning, I'm standing here, and somebody runs in and grabs Doug and me and beats us to pieces and then takes us out and leaves us for half dead. Can you imagine that? How would you feel? Pretty grim, wouldn't it be? Pretty shocking. This is happening more often than you realize, not just in India, but in many other places. Being violently taken from the pulpit, beaten and imprisoned for sharing the word with you, what would you do to help him? They can avoid this persecution by one small action, just a few words. All they need to say is that they would forsake Christ, then their lives would be normal again. But these new Christians won't do this. Why? The level of persecution is extreme compared to what you or I may face. But they count it all joy to follow Jesus with their whole being, whole heart, even if they lose their livelihoods and everything they have. You remember the apostles, when they were thrown into prison, they came out saying, we were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Okay? Often they'll just be enjoying a Sunday together. Now, their Sunday's a bit different to ours. They come in the morning and they have a four-hour service. Then they have lunch together. Then they have a four-hour service in the afternoon. Then they have evening meal together. They have another two-hour service in the evening. So they're worshipping and praising and praying, sometimes agonizingly praying all day long for some of these things that are happening. But that's when often people will come in. Thanks. Many of these people have never even heard of Jesus before they came to Christ. We are working among the most unreached people groups. Most of them have never heard the name of Christ even once in their lives. Many times these people come to know Christ after witnessing healing miracles, either physically or mentally. They experience the wonder-working hands of God who has healed a loved one after many attempts through other means. They see that God is the only true God. They have solid proof that Christ is greater than the Hindu gods and goddesses who they've been to over and over again and found no healing at all. They count it all for joy to follow Jesus with their whole heart, even if they lose everything. There they are, praising him and praying. Could well be somebody descends on them just at that very moment. Okay. Our pastor attacked. Last month during our Sunday service in Chhattisgarh, we've been there a number of times in this particular church. Hindus bounded into the church and dragged the pastor out while he was preaching. They commanded him to go with them to the local police station. Halfway to the station, they violently attacked him and while cursing him, told him that he can't preach anymore. There was no one to rescue him. His life was truly in danger. He was taken to the police station expecting that police officers would save his life. Instead, the police officers beat him even more. Please pray for his release. Sad and mourning. Okay. Persecution is spreading. Other pastors in the area are finding it difficult to gather together on Sundays. NJ suggested going house to house and spending time in fellowship and prayer with the believers. This happened in places in South America years ago when communism was taking control. And some of the pastors then, of big churches, said, don't come to the church anymore. Just meet in your homes and keep it quiet. Don't spread the word. And that way they get some degree of protection. Okay. Please pray for us, they're saying. Okay. You can give today to help these persecuted victims and many more that are suffering for the cause of Christ. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ, even though you may never meet them in this life. Can you just about read those placards there? Pray for them and many more. Jesus, teach us to be humble and kind. Can you imagine, you're just being persecuted and your friends have all been beat up and they're putting banners up like that. Jesus, your kingdom come. Jesus is the King of peace. Christians are peace-loving. Why attacks on them? Okay. Help the helpless. Recently, we shared the story of the 17 new believers who left everything and fled to safety in another village in Daltonganj. We've been to the church there also. They went to one of our pastor's homes and have been living there for 2 months now. Having 17 new people living in one's home would be a burden to anyone, but it's especially hard on the pastor and his family as they feed them and care for them, from their own pockets. Can you imagine that? You maybe only got two rooms. Your home is about, probably a quarter or less than the size of this church, this room here. And you've got 17 more people living with you all the time. Quite something, wouldn't it? Okay. The believers, though, as they have no work, use the time in daily prayer and studying the word. They are nurtured spiritually and are growing deeper in their relationship with the Lord while their physical needs are met. Okay? I ask you in your busy lives to spare a few minutes each day to pray for these persecuted believers. Through your prayers and support, we know that God will move. The word of the Lord will continue to grow and no one can stop it. As we pray and help these persecuted Christians, your reward will be great in heaven. Remember the words of the Lord. Whatever you have done for the least of these, you have done unto me. It's quite sobering, isn't it? In the midst of amazing things happening, this is the sort of thing that happens. But it happened in the early church. We shouldn't be surprised, should we? Jesus said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Be ready. But he said some interesting things, didn't he? Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. That's pretty radical, isn't it? Don't know about you, but if someone says something against you, how do you feel? You can't control your feelings, but you can control what comes out. Yep. Feelings come from the enemy many times, or just from ourselves. We're human. But it's what we do with those feelings that's important, isn't it? Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you've given us great freedom in our country and across Europe at present, but that freedom is being attacked. Freedom in the Middle East is almost being eliminated. Your children are being killed, beaten and driven out. Seems as though the enemy wants to take back the whole of the Middle East, which was once fully alive in you. We thank you that your will be done. You are not just the God who rules, but the God who overrules in the affairs of men. And we pray you'll lead us now as we look at this passage in James. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A very appropriate passage. I'd only put that PowerPoint together just a few days ago. Well, a couple of weeks ago, actually. But it fits in quite interestingly with this particular passage. Prayer of faith. Faith and prayer. Prayer and faith. Which comes first? Faith. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah? You ponder on that as you go home. Have your Sunday lunch and ponder on that. Okay. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Now, often the time when many people are not Christian, they tend to cry out. If they're in trouble, major troubles, something in them, something in us before we became Christians, cries out to the one we didn't believe in. Is that right? Tremendous opportunities. Trouble brings openness to God. We don't often think about it that way, do we? Trouble brings openness to God. When trouble comes, we cry out. You all right? Take care.
Trouble brings openness to God. So when you're in trouble, we should pray. That's what it says here. Yep. So we're on track. It's a normal human instinct, even for those that are not saved. If anyone is happy, let him sing songs of praise. And that we do quite frequently, don't we? My mother used to be singing all the time. She never stopped singing until my father died when I was 12 and my other two brothers were 8 and 4. We were on holiday with my grandparents. Terrible shock. Came in from a football match. He'd been watching Newcastle United. They were coming up to win the cup 3 times running. And in fact, they'd won it 3 times running. They were coming up to win it 4 times running, but they didn't. Had a heart attack, coronary thrombosis on the stomach. 20 minutes after he came in, he was dead. When we're in trouble, we cry out. In trouble, we cry out. But she used to sing, "Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." And after a few years of grieving and loss and trouble with depression and all sorts of things that many of us suffer at certain points in our lives, she once more was able, as in the psalm, as the deer pants for the water, yeah, "So my soul longs for you. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why disquieted within me? Trust in God. I will yet again praise him." That's the other version. I like the Message version also. Brilliant. Okay. Okay, if you're happy, sing songs of praise. Give thanks. You know, if you're struggling with things going wrong, and sometimes some of us can be a bit negative, can't we? If you're particularly negative, stop and write down the things that you can thank God for that day. If you can't think of anything for that day, that week, can't think of anything for that week, that year, keep going until you can find a list of things you can thank God for and focus on them. What did Paul say? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report, there's a number of other things in that quote, isn't there? Think on these things. Don't dwell on the negative. You know, sometimes we've got to look at the negative. We've got to try and sort it out. We've got to solve it. But look at the positive ways through. That will help you as you struggle with troubles, as you focus on what to give thanks for. But be happy. Sing songs of praise when you're happy. And there's a lot of happiness, isn't there? In all of our lives, we can look back on a lot of happiness, a lot of lovely times. Okay. If anyone is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. I'll stop there for a minute. The Lord will raise him up. Elders, I know that you're probably doing that. Hope that you'll be able to do it more. But the key is right there in those scriptures and what follows. Yeah. If anyone is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith. That's the key, isn't it? The prayer offered in faith. I once went up to one of the leaders on the ship and said, "I prayed for quite a few people to be healed, and they haven't been healed. What's the problem?" And he looked at me for a second and he said, "Did they ask you to pray for them?" Quite an interesting question, actually, isn't it? Sometimes we pray for people that haven't particularly asked us to pray for them. Yeah. There may be many reasons for that. Maybe they haven't got the faith themselves at that time. Because faith is a gift from God. When Paul and the apostles were walking and ministering through the book of Acts, there are occasions when they looked at a person and they saw they had faith to be healed. Remember those words? They saw they had faith to be healed. They sensed this, the eyes of the lamp. Sometimes you can see it in people's eyes. They're longing to be healed and they have faith to be healed. And they're coming to one that they feel can pray and their prayers will be answered. Okay? So it's important that we have that sense from God that we have faith and they have faith that they will be healed before we pray. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person, well, no question about it then. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, because you have that sense within that it was right, that this was the Lord's will. And they have that sense in themselves also. And there's another key. If he or she has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Okay, what is there? If the person has sinned, they need to confess their sin. Otherwise, they probably will not be healed. God is gracious. He's very gracious. But he comes to us with conviction. He comes to us saying, I know what you've done. I know what you've said. But I want you to come to me and admit it. There's something about, you know, two little boys squabbling or two little girls squabbling in front of the mum and dad, and maybe around a corner. Oh, it was him, it was her. But it's not until the person that has done the wrong or said the wrong thing admits it and asks forgiveness that there's peace again in the home, is it? Is it? I'm sure you teach this to the children in junior church in Sunday school. And it's the same with us. We're like children before God. And he's asking us, be honest with me. I know what you've done. I know what you've said. I know everything about you, all you've done in your life. And I died on the cross. Jesus said, I died on the cross to wash you clean. All of it. To wash you clean. All of it. To give you a fresh new life and to keep you clean. To keep washing you clean. Till the end of your days, till one day you'll be perfectly clean forever with that new life forever. So if he or she has sinned, he will be forgiven if they confess their sin. Then it says, that is an interesting thing, isn't it? Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. In the early Methodist church, when revival spread right across the world, not just across Britain, but right across the world, massive revival, one of the greatest missionary moves in history. They had class meetings or home meetings, a bit like our home meetings, but they met for only two reasons, to confess their sins to each other and to pray for each other. Now, I don't know if that's what you have with your home groups, if you have home groups, or any other home groups. Probably not. But is there something we need to learn from that? Because they were the seeds of revival, the seeds of awakening, if we're honest with each other. Of course, you're not going to share your darkest secrets with anybody, are you? But it may well be that there's a sense within you, you need to, those that are only between you and God, you need to confess to him. But if others know about it, you need to confess and ask their forgiveness, don't you? And we'll be forgiven. And if they don't forgive you, that's between them and God then. You are free. You've done your part. But then you'll be in a better place to be healed and released and know peace in your own heart. Okay. Let's just read that bit again. If he or she has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Who is a righteous man? One that's washed in the blood. One who's forgiven. One who's confessed to the Lord everything and asked him to cleanse. That's a righteous man or a righteous woman. So if you're in that state, and I hope you are, and if not, I hope you soon will be, you can pray when you know and have that sense from God
it's right, and people will be healed. Okay.
It's happening all over Britain as well as in other parts,
but it seems as though it happens most among the poor and the needy. Those who are in the most trouble seem to have the most answers to prayer. It's when we get desperate, isn't it, that God answers many times.
Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. That's a strange thing to put in there, isn't it? What's that got to do with all this?
Well, it's got to do with the fact that the people of God were in the worst condition that they'd ever been when Elijah was born and brought up as a prophet. They were in a dreadful state. Ahab was king, and Jezebel, one of the most wicked queens, was the queen. And we know some of those stories from Sunday school or from wherever else. And God was saying through Elijah, it's time for the people of God to face the music. It's time. I've been trying to persuade them. I've been calling out to them. I've been crying to them to come to me. To come to me, to confess their sins, to get right with me, to walk truly with me. But they won't. They've kept walking away. They're getting more and more evil. They're now worshipping and sacrificing to the gods of Baal, who were the gods of rain and sun, the gods of the weather. So it's interesting that it was those gods that were going to be exposed by the true and living God. So God said to Elijah, I want you to pray that the rain stops. People need to face people, and God knew that people would then start to cry out as they get more and more hungry, as they get more and more struggling. People were going to cry out, and then they would be in a condition to repent of their sinful ways, to turn away from them and come back for forgiveness. Is that not a picture, a little bit, of where we're at as a nation? It's said that there's a prophecy, a major prophecy, that revival will come to Britain next year. Who knows? We've heard that many times before. But it could well be. Is leaving the EU and the shaking that will come from that part of it? I don't know. But I have a sense, God's promised that he's going to shake everything, so that it's only that which is in him that will stand. He's promised that in Hebrews 12, 13, somewhere around there. He's going to shake everything so that only that which is in him will stand.
And as we cry out to him, and maybe we need to be crying out even more, Lord,
turn us back to you. Help us, at least in the church, to turn back to you. Help us to get our lives sorted out. Help us to get ourselves washed clean. Help us to get ourselves walking true with you. Help us to get ourselves so close to you that we're sensing what you're saying to us, so that we can pray for people who are struggling and they will be healed, and all manner of other things that come from that. So we will know what to do when we're struggling for guidance and we're not sure what's the way forward or how to cope with life.
Well, they were in a mess, weren't they?
In fact, God got the ravens to feed Elijah, and then a widow who'd got just a little bit of oil and a little bit of grain left. And Elijah went to her and said, you know, bake it and give me the first bit. That was a test of faith, wasn't it? Right in the worst part of a famine. But as she took that step of faith for her son and herself, was going to be their last meal, she gave it up, trusting God. It never ran out. It never ran out. The grace of God never runs out when we trust him. The grace of God never runs dry.
Well, 3.5 years had gone. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops.
So that it was very clear, the gods of Baal, the gods of the weather, failed. Completely failed, because the God of Israel, through Elijah, prayed that it would stop raining, and it stopped. And then 3.5 years later, when they started to see and come to their senses and come back to God,
He prayed again and it rained, and great fruitfulness and crops came. My brothers, if one of you, brothers, sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
I don't know about you, but I need conviction, do you? I need somebody that keeps an eye on me. My wife keeps an eye on me. And she said, Les. We all need that a bit, don't we? Let's keep an eye on each other in love. Not in judgment. Not in legalism. But let's help each other to stay true to the Lord. Help each other to get right with the Lord. Help each other to draw so close to him that we hear what he's saying and we sense the way he's leading and we see him doing significant things in our lives and in other people's lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you don't desire that any should perish in this nation or any other nation. We cry to you for these that believe it's right to wipe out people across the Middle East and different parts of Europe and Afghanistan and Sudan and wipe out your children. And we cry to you that you'd bring them to know you as you brought. Wash us clean, Lord. Fill us afresh with your life-giving spirit. Help us to keep close to you, forgiven and forgiving others, so that we can continue to be forgiven and walk in your spirit and know your power working in and through us for your glory and the growth of your kingdom, giving you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.